This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to touch upon a subject that is a very enigmatic subject, a subject that is extremely challenging, and I'm very happy to have an expert to do a deep dive on it. The subject is chronic fatigue syndrome, and today we're going to talk to Dr. Sarah Myhill. Dr. Myhill is from the UK, and I'm speaking to her transatlantically through the miracle of Skype. And she has a book entitled Sustainable Medicine, in which she talks about general strategies, not just for chronic fatigue syndrome, but for a variety of ailments. But really her practice focus is dealing with chronic fatigue syndrome and what is sometimes referred to, especially in the UK, as ME, or myalgic encephalitis. In fact, in addition to this popular book, Sustainable Medicine, Whistleblowing on 21st Century Medical Practice, she's also author of several fascinating scientific papers on the subject of chronic fatigue syndrome, as well as a very deep dive on chronic fatigue syndrome, more oriented towards medical professionals. It's diagnosis and treatment of CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, and myalgic encephalitis. She's also received prestigious awards from the British Medical Association, the BMA, for her research on CFS. And so I guess there's a little bit of a divide, you know, that the Atlantic Ocean creates for us. But in the UK, she is certainly one of the go-to people for patients, long-suffering patients, who have gone to multiple doctors to no avail, dealing with their symptoms of CFS and ME. So it's a great pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Myhill. Thanks for joining us.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. So you fire any questions that you like, and I will try and field those.
Okay. I'm going to take my best shots, as they say. Fire away. Okay. So, you know, I think one of the central contentions and really an innovation in terms of your research on chronic fatigue syndrome is that it is a mitochondrial disease. In fact, you've coined a marvelous phrase, quote, it's mitochondria, not hypochondria. So help us out with that assertion. What's going on with these patients who suffer from CFS? First, perhaps a definition of the kind of patients that you're seeing.
Okay, well, that phrase actually comes from one part of the book, but my publisher liked it so much, he said we've got to have that on the front cover. Now, the key thing to remember about chronic fatigue syndrome and ME is that they are not diagnoses. They are clinical pictures, which we recognize as clinicians and, of course, are characterized by fatigue. Now, chronic fatigue syndrome is the clinical picture that arises when energy delivery mechanisms are impaired. ME is the clinical picture that arises when energy delivery mechanisms are impaired and there is inflammation, i.e. the immune system is activated. And the immune system may be activated for reasons of allergy or chronic infection. So that's the roadmap, that's the general overview of how I approach anybody with CFS or ME. So I always start with energy delivery mechanisms. And a very helpful analogy here is to think of the body as a car. The body is a machine, just like a car. And for your car to go well, there are four key players. First of all, you've got to have the right fuel in the tank. And the evolutionary correct fuel is a paleo ketogenic diet. And modern foods, which are high in carbohydrates and rich in dairy products and grains and yeast, are not evolutionary correct. They are a disaster. So having got the right fuel in the tank, and believe you me, I spend more time talking about diet and gut function than probably all other subjects put together. Once you've got the right fuel in the tank, you then have to burn that fuel in the presence of oxygen. And this is the job of mitochondria. And every living cell in the whole of nature, plants, animals, you know, my pet frog, dogs, the lot, we all have mitochondria. It's a common engine. And every living cell contains that. And what mitochondria do is they take fuel from the bloodstream, which should be in the form of ketone bodies. They burn it in the presence of oxygen to produce energy in the form of a molecule called ATP. And I think of ATP as like money. With ATP, you can buy any job in the body. And again, another very useful analogy that I use for my patients comes from Charles Dickens, the author. And in Mr. Micawber, there's a wonderful quote where he says, Mr. Micawber says, income 20 shillings, outgoing 21 shillings, result misery. Income 20 shillings, outgoings 19 shillings, result happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with the body. We have to look at both sides of the equation, say the energy input and then how the body is spending energy.
By the way, I might say that your book is studded with delightful quotations, literary quotations, some Latin quotations. So, you display your erudition throughout the book, Sustainable Medicine.
I can't claim that. I co-write with Craig Robinson, who is a classic scholar. And he, whilst I put in the dry science and the boring medicine, he colours that with wonderful quotes from the literature. Some of the jokes come from me. I do the funny things, but he, the classical literature.
That had me worried because it made me think that Brits are smarter than Americans. But now that you've explained it.
No, but we are all asking the same questions, and that's the important thing. The reason why the conventional medicine has failed to address the problems of chronic fatigue and ME is because they're not asking the right questions. They're not asking the questions why these patients are fatigued. So jumping back, as I say, with energy delivery mechanisms, we have these four important processes. So we need the right fuel in the tank, the ketogenic diet. We need the mitochondria working well, and that's what my scientific papers are based around, mitochondrial function. And then for that car to go, you've got to have the accelerator pedal set just right, and that is the thyroid gland. The mm-hmm. thyroid gland determines how fast your mitochondria go. And then we need the adrenal gearbox. And the adrenal gearbox allows us to move up a gear in response to demand. So the adrenal glands and thyroid glands, they match energy requirements very closely to energy delivery mechanisms. And if you think about this, again, from an evolutionary perspective, this is very important. Because if primitive man spent energy unnecessarily during the winter, then he wouldn't survive. He would run out of fuel, mm-hmm. he'd run out of food, and he'd starve to death. Conversely, if a saber-toothed tiger leapt out at primitive man, he then had to run the fastest mile he'd ever run in his life, or he's going to be breakfast for that tiger. And mm-hmm. we need adrenaline to do that, and we need thyroid hormones to achieve that. So those are the four areas that I look at with respect to energy delivery mechanisms. And then we have to look at the flip side, the other side, which is how is the body spending energy? Now, an enormous amount of energy just goes on staying alive, or what we call basal metabolism. Basic brain function, basic heart function, just keeping warm. That absorbs about two-thirds of all the energy in the body, which means we have a third of the energy left to spend on jobs, and that might be using our brains or it might be using our bodies physically. Now, major problems arise if the immune system gets activated, either for reasons of allergy or for reasons of infection. And the immune system is hugely demanding of energy. How do I know that? Because if I give a fit, healthy person a dose of flu, they are bedbound for a couple mm-hmm. of weeks
yeah.
because their immune system is so busy fighting infection, there's no energy left for the rest of the body, and they are forced to go to bed. And this is how my ME patients feel all the time.
Yeah.
They have all the symptoms of poor energy delivery, i.e. severe fatigue, no stamina, post-exertion malaise, they're often bedbound. They have foggy brains because the brain is hugely demanding of energy, and there is just not the fuel or rather the energy getting to the brain to allow it to function normally. And then they also have the symptoms of inflammation, because that's what happens when we get flu. And inflammation is characterized by redness, fever, swelling, loss of function, and pain. So these patients are in a huge state of distress as a result of all these things going wrong. So if there's that element of inflammation, I'm asking myself, are they allergic? And of course, the common things that cause allergy are grains, dairy product, yeast, but actually you can be allergic to anything. Or are they in a state of inflammation because they have some sort of low-grade chronic infection? And increasingly, we recognize that this can be triggered by Lyme disease, by chronic Epstein-Barr viral infection, by mycoplasma infection, or whatever. There are many possible contenders. So that's, as I call, the roadmap. That's the overall pattern, the picture I've got in my mind whenever I'm seeing and treating anybody with a chronic fatigue syndrome or ME.
So it sounds like there's no one-size-fits-all approach. You know, some people might be thinking, in this broadcast, we're going to reveal the single magic bullet strategy for every patient suffering from any variant of chronic fatigue syndrome. Is there such a thing, or is it each patient like a snowflake, you know, an individual pattern that is their own pattern of distress?
Absolutely right. And whilst the causes are similar, mitochondrial function dysfunction is common, hypothyroidism is common, poor adrenal function is common, allergies are common, and so on, everybody ends up with their own way of recovering. And my job is to teach people, and in fact the word doctor comes from the Greek, it means to teach. It means to teach people to cure themselves, because the shameful thing is we do not have the medical brain power to treat all the CFS ME sufferers in the world, because the doctors, as I say, are not asking the right question. So my job with the book is to give you the rules of the game, i.e. this is how you go about it and this is what you do. And secondly, my job is to give people the tools of the trade to allow them to put those interventions in place. And the tools of the trade are good, basic, nutritional, naturopathic medicine with some herbal medicine or whatever. And with that in mind, I set up a website called Natural Health Worldwide. And the idea of that is to put any sufferer in the world in touch with any practitioner in the world, might be a doctor, might be somebody with a health qualification, or it might be an experienced patient, i.e. someone who's been there and done it, so that they can help them in their path to recovery. And the tools, the trade I'm using are simple things like paleoketogenic diet, taking nutritional supplements, using glandulars, thyroglandulars or adrenal glandulars, using detoxification regimes such as sweating or saunering. Any heating regime is effective at getting rid of pesticides and volatile organic compounds in the body. So reducing the toxic stress, improving the diet, looking in some detail at sleep, teaching people how to pace their activities. As I say, there is a whole package of treatment which I detail at length in the book. And the interventions that I'm putting there are all things people can do themselves. You do not have to travel, you know, a million miles and go to a very expensive clinic to get well. You can. All these are within the power of people to do.
Well, that's very empowering. Okay, folks, at this point, we're going to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you, so please listen up. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Sarah Myhill. So a little diversion, because chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME, as it's sometimes called, it's a controversial diagnosis. And some studies have suggested that, there's a high degree of depression among these patients, that merely undertaking cognitive behavioral therapy can be helpful. There's a study called the PACE study, which suggests that if you simply encourage patients to undertake a gradual program of graded exercise, they can recover their stamina. Do you have a problem with those assertions?
A major problem. In fact, it is an intellectual nonsense that a condition that is defined by exercise tolerance could be treated by exercise intolerance could be treated by exercise. It's a complete nonsense. Now, that PACE study was published in The Lancet in 2011, and it has been subject to widespread criticism. In particular, this has been spearheaded by Dr. Keith Geraghty, who's looked at the data. Now, in order to get the data out of the PACE authors, they refused to let us have it. They said, no, we're not going to have it. It's a secret.
Some real chicanery involved there, yeah.
Oh, he had to go to the Information Tribunal, and he had to take them to court in order to get the figures, the raw data released. Having got that raw data, he then analyzed it and realized that the study was a fraud. It had been set up in such a way, the statistics had been twisted, the goalposts had been moved, the patients had been misinterpreted and been misled, that the study was fraudulent. So the PACE study and Geraghty's critique was put out to 40 separate academic bodies who were invited to submit further papers to discuss the controversy. And the bottom line is, we now know beyond a shadow of doubt that that PACE study is fraudulent. And that means those doctors, the authors of that study, who are psychiatrists, I have reported them to the General Medical Council here for scientific fraud and, by implication, financial fraud, because that study cost £5 million of taxpayers' money. So it is a very expensive study. And it was done very poorly, and those doctors should be properly investigated. The shameful thing is, as a result of that study, the recommendations for treating chronic fatigue syndrome and ME are as you iterated them, i.e., you know, give them some exercise, give them some antidepressants, give them some psychotherapy, and they'll get well. And we now know that is wrong. And as a result of that appalling advice, not only have many patients been made worse, because if you exercise somebody with chronic fatigue syndrome or ME, you will make them worse. But they have been denied pension rights, pension benefits, sickness benefits, because they've been told this is a psychological condition, and if you refuse the treatment, exercise, well, we're not going to compensate you.
Wow. That's sounds like some really, well, at least at the very least, a lot of people like yourself are pushing back against the conclusions of that PACE study. I know it's notorious in the annals of medical research as being a poorly executed study with some really bad implications for CFS sufferers. So in the book, why do you call CFS, and I'm quoting, the worst treated condition in Western medicine?
For these very reasons, these patients have serious debilitating illness and they are not taken seriously. It's a little bit like telling a patient with cancer that they've got a psychological problem because the doctors are not looking for the proper pathology. Now, the underlying pathology of chronic fatigue syndrome and ME is not classical pathology like arteriosclerosis or cancer with lumps and bumps or whatever. It's cellular pathology. It's pathology that is taking place at the cellular level, and they are not homing in on it. They're not reducing their microscopes so they can see what's going on. And this is why I particularly got interested in mitochondria, because mitochondria are cell organelles. Now, one can hardly see mitochondria on a light microscope. They are extremely small. I mean, you can just about see a cell the heart cell, for example, will have maybe 2,000 or 3,000 mitochondria contained within each heart cell. So these little organelles are so tiny, so they can't be visualized very well. And I was helped. My research was an essential part of that was using a laboratory called Biolab, and which then became Acumen Laboratories in UK. And the director, Dr. John McLaren Howard, he developed a mitochondrial function test. Mm-hmm. And this allows us to take blood from patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and measure how well their mitochondria are working.
And for our listening audience, primarily in the United States, although we have an international audience, I believe that test is not available to folks in the United States. It's a test which can be performed in the UK, but it's not a generally available test. Is it synonymous with the ATP profile test? Is that the same thing?
That is the test. But I've now done nearly 900 of those tests on different patients and followed them up. And what I now know is that how we can improve that mitochondrial function reliably well with the combination of nutritional mm-hmm. supplements, which are not expensive, and sometimes detox techniques.
I've read some of your papers. I think what's very interesting is, a lot of research on chronic fatigue syndrome is based on non-objective parameters. In other words, subjective impressions of patients, like, are you feeling better? Yeah, I think so. I'm a little better. I'm a little more able to function. And you certainly query patients about their level of functionality before and after. But with this test, the mitochondrial test or the ATP profile test, you can actually document improvements in the function of the mitochondria with these interventions, which I think is fascinating. You've really put this research on the map.
Correct. That is what's so important. It's the only objective measure of cellular energy delivery that I know of. But I mean, just correcting the mitochondria alone doesn't necessarily cure the patient, because there are all these other aspects mm-hmm. of energy delivery that have to be considered. As I say, the mitochondria is the engine of the car,
right.
And yes, that's a vital part. Right. But if you don't get the fuel right, and you don't get the thyroid and the adrenal glands right, then that will be to no avail.
Right. I mean, so another analogy might be if the engine's working, but the clutch isn't working, or the tires are deflated, or the differential gears are malfunctioning.
Correct.
You're not translating that energetics to
Correct.
The actual performance and well-being of the patient.
That's right. Again, another analogy I use is that getting people well is like conducting an orchestra. There's no point, you've got to have, to get a symphony, you have to have the strings, the drums, the wind instruments, all playing at the same time, at the right level and in tune with each other. And then you get a melody that takes you hundreds of thousands of miles. But it's no good just fixing the strings and, oh, never mind, that's no good. Forget that. Let's have a look at something else. It's all got to be done, and as I say, it's like making music. You've got to get everything balanced up. And now I can't do that. I can't micromanage my patients to do that. I have to teach them to do it themselves. And of course, they are hugely incentivized to do that because that's their health that's on the line.
Indeed. Well, you've done a beautiful job laying the groundwork for a discussion of recovery from chronic fatigue syndrome. It's based on your book, Sustainable Medicine. There's a lot more in Sustainable Medicine about ways to treat various other maladies. We're talking today to Dr. Sarah Myhill. She is also author of a medical book, Diagnosis and Treatment of Chronic Fatigue Syndrome and Myalgic Encephalitis, and an expert on chronic fatigue syndrome. And when we return, we're going to talk about specific strategies. We'll talk about some of the lifestyle factors. We'll talk about some of the supplements that are helpful, thyroid, adrenal, detoxification, and so on. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is part one of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.